Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here this afternoon. I hope that these times are a blessing to you and will continue to bless you and help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. And I'm thankful that He gives us this time, not just to be with each other, but to be with Him, and that He wants to speak to us. He wants us to know Him. He wants to give us guidance and understanding for our lives and our living. And so as we begin this time together with Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You have given to us. And, oh Lord God, most of all, Your presence in it, Father. Lord, Your desire for us to know You, to experience You, to walk with You. Father, we come here today, Lord, because we want to know You. Father, we ask that You open our minds and our hearts, that You give us understanding of Yourself, of Your ways. Father, we ask that You give us insight and discernment about the world that we live in and how You would have us to live in this world. Guide us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, it used to be said that if you want to know what is happening, read the newspaper. If you want to understand what is happening, read the Bible. And the only difference that we would make in that expression today is that instead of the newspaper, we would probably go to the internet, to some web page or website or some combination of websites to gain an understanding about what is currently happening right now. But to have the understanding of those events, we would still need to go to God's Word. It's in God's Word that we gain an understanding of this world that we live in. It's the source of understanding for us. And as we look around us, as we keep up with the news, obviously it seems like everywhere we turn, we see evil, we see wickedness, we see fraud, we see corruption. And we ask ourselves, why? What will become of all this? What can we do in the midst of it? And we find some of those answers when we come now to Psalm 53. And as we look at Psalm 53, we find out that it's actually very, very similar to Psalm 14. In fact, is the main difference is verse 5. And apparently what happened is that David took Psalm 53 or took Psalm 14 and applied it to a particular battle or situation and added the elements there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, and verse 5 to apply to that situation. But it gives us understanding of these times in which we live in, this world in which we live. And so as we look at this psalm, we see, first of all, the root of evil. We'll see that in the very first part of verse 1. As we think about where evil, where wickedness comes from, look at the very first part of verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The rejection, the denial of God is the source of all evil and wickedness. Once you remove God, or at least think that you have removed God, you have in fact removed all standards and restraints. Those things have in fact been taken away. And that's obvious when you, whether it's official statements that a person or a group put out, or just the unspoken position of the heart. And this explains why the real reason to try to remove God away from the public square, it explains the real reason behind the denial of God as Creator, because once you've removed God, all restraints have in fact been removed. The only problem with that is obviously to say it wrong is wrong, but it also it will not work. Because look at the type of person who does that, and this is the biblical analysis of such thinking. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You cannot remove God. But this is where evil and wickedness comes from on the human, comes from. Obviously on the human level, we know Satan is ultimately the one behind it. But as we look at the human level, you know, this is how it is expressed. But look what becomes of it. Look at the results of evil. Look at the latter part of verse 1. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. What a commentary for our times. I remember several years ago hearing Charles Stanley preach a message. I heard it on the radio, but I heard him give a message, and it was in relation to Independence Day and the condition of our nation. And he made the observation that when a nation or a society rejects God, that nation, that society, will always degenerate to the lowest possible level. And that's true whether you're talking about a society, talking about a nation, or talking about an individual. And if you wonder why our society can, in fact, has come to the level that it's on now, and in fact continues to go past that level and get even worse, it's because of this rejection of God. And yet, as we read this, we see it continues. Look at verses 2 and 3. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Every one of them has turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. We look at our society, our world, running as hard and fast from God as it possibly can. And yet, as we look at those verses, some of that phrasing there might be somewhat familiar to you. Because when you look at verse 3, that is actually quoted in Romans chapter 3 to talk about the natural, that is, the unsaved condition of all of mankind. All of us have been in that condition. Every person apart from Jesus Christ is in that condition. And in fact, when you look at Romans 3, the statement of that is actually setting the stage for God's grace, both in the plan of salvation that God had in the sending of His Son, the perfection of His plan and following through, and Jesus Christ dying and rising again, and our participation in that salvation when by the Holy Spirit He brings us to faith. But this that we see in verses 2 and 3, this is the bent of the unregenerate, that is, the unsaved, the lost heart. This is why, again, getting back to analyzing our society and our nation, this is why our nation isn't simply drifting. I know we use that term sometimes, but if you look at our nation, it's not drifting. Our nation is full speed ahead away from God. It's not just drifting away from Him. And the result of that is the fact that we see the violence taking place. Verse 4, have the workers of wickedness no knowledge, who eat up my people as though they ate bread and have not called upon God? We see the absolute violence in general, the increasing violence against God's people in our time. These are the results of evil. This is what it happens when that root of the rejection and the rebellion of God is allowed, in fact, to grow. It leads and it turns away from God. And it results in the violence, the corruption. But look with me as we keep looking at this psalm. And we come to the recompense of evil. And this is where it is different from Psalm 14. And again, apparently, they took the general principle of Psalm 14 and applied it to some specific victory that we're not sure where that was. But think about the recompense of evil in verse 5. There they were in great fear where no fear had been. For God scattered the bones of him who encamped against you. You put them to shame because God had rejected them. God judged evil then. God will judge evil. We are before a holy God and a God who will judge evil. Listen, those individuals described in verses 1 through 4, they didn't get by with it. The wicked of today, they're not getting by with it. And we are not getting by with it. And we will not get by with it. God will, in fact, judge sin. There's no getting around it. The issue is how. You know, we don't often think about this. We often think of salvation as a way of escaping God's judgment, and it certainly is in a way, but it's really not so much an escape from God's judgment. It is, in fact, the fulfillment of God's judgment, but that judgment was fulfilled upon Christ rather than us. You see, salvation is when we trust the fact that Jesus Christ came to die for us, and again, like we saw in verse 3, all of us have turned aside. All of us have turned away, each into his own way. Turned away, each to his own way. But salvation is when Jesus Christ comes. And because he is the sinless Son of God, he can stand in our place. And all the consequence, all the judgment, if you will, we sometimes have some consequences for our sin, but the judgment of sin is poured out entirely, completely, and totally upon him. It's not that God's justice is done away with. God's justice was fulfilled by being poured out upon Christ. The choice that we have is how that justice will in fact be met, either by faith in Christ, that all of it was poured out upon him, and therefore he bore the penalty and the judgment for our sin, or we're going to have to bear it ourselves for eternity. But God recompenses sin in full. And I wonder today, what are you counting on for the recompense of your sin? Because it's going to be dealt with one way or the other. Either upon Jesus Christ, because you've trusted him as your Savior, or you'll have to bear it for all of eternity. But a holy God will demand the recompense of sin. He will demand the justice, one way or the other. But we're before a holy God. Whether for ourselves as individual or our society as a nation, there's a recompense of evil. But notice as well, when we look at this psalm, and going back to that, I pray that you place your faith and trust in Christ, and that if you haven't done so, that you will. So that his justice will have been poured out upon Christ, and you can now be freed and cleansed, delivered, and adopted as God's child. But we also, as we look at this psalm, we see the restoration from evil. Look at verse 6. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when God restores his captive people. Let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. We read that one, it goes through our mind as something like, boy, I sure wish that would happen, or I hope that would happen. But this is actually a prayer based upon God's revelation. Notice, it's not so much a matter of if, it's a matter of when. God will judge sin. God will rule in righteousness. And there's comfort and there's strength. Obviously, looking forward to that, this is Israel looking forward to the time when God will, in fact, deliver Israel, the remnant of Israel, true Israel. And God will fulfill his promises and all of his covenants unto them, deal with their enemies when he will deliver them. But there is the assurance that those days are in fact comfort. And even as we live in these days, we can find comfort and strength and encouragement because God's going to deal with the evil and God will restore all things and make things right. We can live in these days knowing those days are ahead. We can trust our righteous Father. We can have the understanding, even when we look at whatever websites, news sites you look at, that the day is coming when God will deal with all of this in full and in absolute perfection. We can trust him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've made it clear the reality of evil and wickedness. You don't gloss over it. You tell us very clearly where it comes from. That's a rejection of you. Father, you show us, O God, how it does in fact spread, Father, the effect that it has. But Father, you've also made it very clear that you will judge it. And Father, we thank you, O God, that in your grace you've made a way for that judgment to be poured out upon your Son rather than us. And Father, I pray that each of us watching this, O Lord, has trusted Christ. But Father, you've also given us, O Lord, the assurance of the restoration from evil and wickedness, O God. That the day is coming when our Lord will return, put down all evil and wickedness, will reign forever, and all of this will be dealt with in full. Father, as we live in these days, may we look forward to those days and know with absolute certainty that they're coming. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you live through today and these days that you'll have an understanding of not only what's taking place around you, why it's taking place, but also that none of this is getting by God's notice, that he'll deal with it in his perfect timing, in his perfect way, and that God's perfect plan will in fact come to fruition, and we can trust in him, and we can rest in him. And I hope as you think about that and trust that in spite of all that's taking place around us, that you can have a great day in the Lord.